Can you put your headphones just back a little bit on your head? It looks very strange.
Tell me how to dress.
I'm not.
Is there a dress code in here?
People are going to be like, oh, it's so nice that they let their brother.
Too far back now.
Put it so it's in the middle of your head.
A little bit. That's too far forward. It's too far back. You've got like a
little. No, is this always? This has never been an issue before.
Can you not feel that on your head?
This feels centered. That's like.
That's centered.
It's actually too far forward still.
Is it?
I'm fucking hate it. You. Yours is upside down.
Okay, it's working.
Is that done watching?
That, you do that?
You can wear it however you want, cool. Man.
Is it?
No.
Yeah. It was have a think about that before.
Is that fine? Feel,
yeah.
Just, is it good?
You wear, this is what it looks like when you do it.
You look fine.
That looks fine?
Yeah.
That
so we're in a football helmet from like the 1950s.
It does. It looks like I'm
your eyes got bigger because you're trying to elaborate it. Does this look good?
I feel like... No. I feel like Waterboy.
Well, I have the same.
Okay. G'day and welcome to the Mellow Tiger Podcast. My name is Bree and joining me... This is like the second intro of the day because we fucked it up. Yeah. So you.
Me.
Who are you?
Hello.
I think you said hola. You want to do that again?
No, I've changed it again.
Yeah.
To Ola.
Actually, no, I will go Ola.
Do it.
I think we should go further and expand our diversity on this show. So I will say hello in all different languages.
Je m'appelle Brie, comment allez-vous?
I said me.
That's fair. Mm. I did try. I tried to jump on that.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, that's a great idea. I'm going to do it.
No, I was just trying to showcase the only other language I can speak. And it was taught to me by someone who could speak it. And he said, I don't understand why you say it with a Mario accent. It was Camille's cousin Karim. He lived with us for a month in Brisbane, and in exchange, he taught me because he spoke Swiss French.
So that's made up. Swiss.
It's not. Well, you can speak Swiss German or Swiss French, which I think is just like kind of Germany Swiss or like Frenchy Swiss. I fucking don't know. But he would teach me things, and all I knew is like, oh, je m'appelle Brie, comment allez-vous? And sometimes I'd say, like, it's me, a Mario.
A bit, bit, bit.
He'd be like, yeah, why do you do that? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't know why I do a lot of things.
Whoopsie. But yeah, it shit itself. And George's dog let us know. She did. She had the sixth sense.
She wasn't trapped at all under
the
house.
How many senses do dogs have?
I think it's like six.
What's their sixth sense?
I don't know.
No, we got the same, isn't it? Don't we have five senses and they've got the same?
You got no sense, mate.
I'm up to two.
No common sense.
I'm stuck on second level. I can look out one eye. Speech was my other. Oh. Yeah, I think the sixth sense is just the supernatural. Everyone has all those other ones. Like, well, not everyone, but it's five senses and the next one can only be a supernatural.
So sort of like the sixth psychic sense.
Yeah, that's what sixth sense. That's a sense.
Have you seen that movie?
We watched it. Are you kidding me?
We watched it heaps of times.
I looked after this one. Well, when I say I
looked after us, like
Mum and Dad went to. It was like one of the first nights we got left at home without babysitters or anything.
Was this when Jord hit
No, that was Jurassic. That
a
was,
golf ball into your nutsack.
That was Godzilla night.
Was it?
Yeah, but the same thing. Though, we were home alone. Yeah,
I remember hitting you in the nuts with the golf ball. I don't remember what movie we watched.
I remember
afterwards.
Watching Godzilla because I was traumatized. I remember everything.
I remember Josh saying, "Don't hit me in the nuts, ha ha ha!" And then you were like, "Okay," and you swung
you just
the golf
it anyway.
Like, were you aiming for his nuts?
He's hitting.
No, I would never aim at a target like that. I was going for the hole, and then I yelled out four, and he.
That wasn't going for the hole.
I remember you holding next door. The chook bucket while you
had the golf
nuts.
Clubs.
And yeah. I went to try and block it with the golf because I went to fight and flight. It was happening. He just belted this ball at me. So I tried to block it with the golf clubs. He'd gotten through and smacked me.
And I tried chasing him.
But then I ran out of energy because it was so painful. It was hurting.
And I offered you a popper.
You did too. I was down over the other side of the fence vomiting my guts up because it hurt so bad. And the cat was eating it while I was vomiting. Remember that? Benny was like, oh, thanks, more, please. Sir. More. He's like, oh, yes.
I just love how you were like, what sort of distance was that too? Like, that was a fair
distance.
Oh, it was
50 metres, probably 40 metres.
I'd say like 30 metres.
Yeah, 30
metres. Yeah, probably. There's a hole dug up there. He got a driver out.
How old were we? How old would I be?
Old enough to know better.
I was 12.
That's one of the best shots I've ever hit.
I think I was in high school.
I was 12. So you would have been 13 or 14.
Yeah.
You would have been 10 or 11.
Whacked that, man.
That was
I remember
hilarious.
Ringing mum and telling her, I'm about to kill
yourself. Of course
son.
You did, you fucking snitch.
Mum, I can't find my other ball. It's gone back up inside me.
That's a real worry, though. People do suffer from that, don't they? Like,
it was bad.
Undescended testes or some shit.
Yeah, mine goes up every now and then.
Does it?
It's like a
what? Little pocket there.
Yeah, there's like a little.
Sometimes you just got to go.
Your nuts go up into your
only
body.
Only one. My right one never does. He hangs pretty low.
I didn't know which one it was. I don't take that much notice.
Sorry.
But it does happen.
How often does this happen?
Not very often. Not like normally, like you have to squish, obviously put pressure.
Like jerking off.
Why does it, what? Why know, does just, it do that? Like, is there know. A reason or sometimes it just goes
probably
up.
Like freedom, something different.
Something different.
Yeah. Maybe we're just born with nut pockets. No one uses them.
Except us.
It's an accessory not many people
I
use.
I didn't know that could happen. I thought that was like a bad thing.
How do you think I felt when I first found out? I was like, holy shit.
Is it just a bad thing if it doesn't come back down?
I guess so. It hurts when it's up there a bit too long. I've timed it.
Can you coach it to come back down?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, buddy. Come on.
Come on, mate. Come on, safe and dry and warm in here.
Yeah.
That's so weird. I never knew that. Yeah. I'm not saying it's weird that it happens.
It's weird that it happens. It's still weird.
It's strange.
Yeah.
But it's like common. When you said that, I was like, you should see a doctor immediately. And then when George's like, it's fine, I'm like,
It's not common. It's not common.
Do you know, to be fair though, if you both experience something, it doesn't mean that that's normal.
Could just be the genetic of the family. Ask dad, he's like, I don't even have, they've always been up there. What do you mean they're below my pants?
I think we're way more like inbred than we first thought too. Like going back further.
Mm.
Like I feel like Ma and Pa weren't the only ones that were related to each other. That though we didn't know. You know. But that's going back further, I think that there was like their parents and their parents' parents intertwined a little bit. They did the devil's dance a little bit too.
Everyone's related.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we're very related.
See, I've never really heard the story, the background. I just know we always talk about it and I don't want to know the story.
Can I tell you? Because it's hilarious. It's a really good one.
I think you've told me before. I'm just saying that.
But it's like super.
I'm just saying that because I don't want to know. Now to think of it, yeah, you did tell me.
Oh, you did tell me. I remember now.
Okay, Josh, give us the details.
Yeah, I know.
No, like the drama around it is actually way better. So Grandma was telling me that. So her and Pa got married, right? And at the time, they reckon they didn't know they were related, which is probably true because it's very weird. They're like my grandmother's, like Ma's great aunt is Pa's grandmother or some shit opposite, like something like that.
What do you mean related? Like, distant.
Ma's great aunt.
She just explained it.
Is no, Pa's like, grandmother. They're the same person.
That's kind of close.
That's pretty close, bro. But apparently, they didn't know about it and no one knew about it. And then they got married. And then there was someone in the family, I believe on Pa's side, that didn't like the fact that Ma and Pa were married and went to the priest to try and get their marriage annulled by presenting this information that they were related.
He just put holy water in a spray bottle.
I don't think they cared. Yeah. Like they
get off YouTube.
But I think by then the damage was done. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they
back up now. We'll just
could
admit you
imagine
wrong
having a family member that despised you that much? They tried to go to a priest to ruin your marriage.
No, I couldn't imagine it. No,
really. I have nothing to do with Father Jenkins.
All right, I'm gonna go first, and mine's a shorty, but like a sweetie. You know what I mean?
I love shorty sweeties.
And there wasn't much information. So
it just puts your iPad down and we're done.
So everything I've written about is accurate, but I just had to like, I just wrote about it swimmingly, like in such a irreverent way to kind of add more to the story. But this happened, okay? So the year was 1990, and on this fine day in Orense, Spain, a group of enthusiastic kids were playing soccer in a picturesque rocky mountainside. During their game, one of the children kicked the ball near what looked like to be a fresh rock slide. And when another went to collect it, he was shocked with what he discovered, partially obscured in the rubble. It was the corpse of a man.
Oh, thank God. That was going to be the Muffin Man.
Josh, you're going to be this. I'm sorry. I should have trigger warned this for you. This is going to be upsetting.
What? Because of the corpse of a man?
With his pants around his ankles.
Uh-huh.
And by his waist, he clutched a disheveled chicken, also dead.
Oh, God. Oh, the chicken's dead.
He was fucking the chicken, and then a landslide hit him. Little pocket chicken.
Upon further investigation, it was discovered the man was 39-year-old Herminio Rivera Cusiero.
He sounds like a chicken fucker.
A local bricklayer turned chicklayer, who the previous night had abducted a chook and evidently clambered down the mountainside seeking privacy. So he went to a farm.
Oh, I knew it.
And he got a chook. He took it with him. He liberated.
Yeah.
He liberated the chook. He's like, come with me, my precious. And he clambered down this mountainside. He was like, finally.
He flew down it like Zelda.
All the other roosters came to attack him. So he went, he got this chicken and he took it. He was like, shh, my precious. It's okay. I stroke it like that.
I think I just threw up in my mouth.
From excitement?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, while allegedly clucking the chicken, Herminio was carried away by his passion for poultry, and the Spaniard's flapping dislodged a large rock, and the unnatural conjugal between man and bird was abruptly halted when it plummeted on top of the couple, killing them both instantly.
The couple.
I love it. You're already together. You're making it sound so normal. It's like a very fine. Yeah, it's both consensual.
It's really, yeah.
So he fucked a chicken so hard that he brought a mountain down on himself.
Disturbingly, the pathologist...
That's a good word for it.
...who had been...
Yeah.
Disturbingly, the pathologist who had been assigned to the case revealed that chicken feathers had been found stuck to Herminio's cock.
Was there semen inside the chicken? Oh, you probably didn't
finish. Josh, I don't know.
Oh, now it's disgusting.
He probably didn't finish. So, yeah, that was my story. I've got a photo. Would you like to see it?
No, thank you.
I want to see the video.
What? You don't want to see the photo? No, you can't. Like, it's...
Is it just a picture of a dick with feathers on it?
No. It's
wing jerking him.
I'm not sure where my...
I don't know why they're just, like, lovers.
He's, like,
tickling... Yeah, he had a relationship with that chicken.
What's the thing called? On the neck? I should know.
I don't know. You're
this. He's fiddling with it, like, when I had thrill the blanket. He's just like, yeah, I like that. You like that little chicken?
So that's how the corpse was found.
Oh, that's big rocks. Oh shit, there's a chicken.
You shouldn't laugh like someone died, man, but it was really weird,
Well, did I mean.
He was raping a chook.
He was raping a chook. It's pretty messed up.
Yeah. Might have been consensual.
You can't consent when you're a chook.
I don't know. How do you know?
Because you can't. We don't know, so we should just leave that alone. You know what I mean? They don't have the right mind to consent because they're a chook. That's how I know.
I feel like it just begins with the chicken. And if that rock slide didn't get him, what else could have he done that's gotten... If you're happy to do that with a chicken...
Gateway drug.
Oh, I'd say something before the chicken was the gateway. I think the chicken, you put a foot through the gateway.
Chicken's a weird one.
I know. Is it? They're easy to catch, I guess. But their assholes are dirty. I don't know how he's...
I think we shouldn't try to justify, like, why...
I'm justifying why the rock slide hit.
I know what you're saying, but I'm like...
That's an act of God. That's like, you shouldn't be doing yeah, that. Like, I'm putting a stop to this now.
This is not going on the waiting list for a prayer. I'm going straight... He's like, I'm bypassing everyone else's
problems. I'm intervening now. Yeah,
pulls off a little red light tape, just steps through, right? Like... Just walks back past all the guys waiting.
You know what? I promise to leave people alone to they can do whatever they want, but this is it. This is the line you're crossing, and I've got to intervene.
And walks past all the other prayers from the sick children and just goes, I'm tired for the day.
A lightning bolt would be too quick.
Yeah.
We're going with a landslide.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that being your legacy, though? Like, that's how you died and that's how you were discovered. And there's not much information on it. So it's kind of like, did he have a wife? You know what I mean? Like, how embarrassing was this for him and his family?
I wouldn't even know how to address that.
Why didn't he have his own chooks?
That's a good point. Someone else's, that's pretty messed up.
He took someone's, he stole.
Imagine being the chook owner, like someone stole my chicken and raped it.
Don't tell me it's
where's
dirty.
My compensation?
Yeah, I'd be emotional compensation.
Yeah.
Because you have to see a psychiatrist about it. Imagine that. Some guy raped me chicken. You don't get past that.
It's disgusting.
That's something you just don't get past.
Imagine the poor kids who discovered it as well. Like, what?
Yeah, they wouldn't have laughed their heads off. They would have just been like, this is disturbing.
I don't know how old they were either. So
they're playing soccer, so they would have
been. But that's so dangerous as well. Like, if that could happen to him doing that, the kids probably shouldn't be playing there.
That's true.
But it's like, who cares? It's the 1990s. anything goes.
It was in Spain.
In Spain, in Orense.
Like a local village outside.
Did you like my joke that he was a bricklayer turned chick layer?
That was good. I missed that. Okay. I heard the bricklayer part, but I didn't listen to the rest of it.
Bricklayer turned chicklayer.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it from me. That was my story.
It's hard to say.
Okay. Well, I can follow this up. Well, I've got a story about birds as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Duck fuckers.
This was actually...
Duck fucker sounds better than chook fucker.
It does.
This was brought up on our last show, and I think it was brought up by you, Joshua.
Mm. Of course it was, if it's to do with birds.
But I thought to get a little bit more in depth with it.
Technically, this is my story then, but
continue. You can, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The Great Emu War of 1932.
Oh, yes. I want to hear about this, because I only know about it, but I haven't heard the details. This is fucking so good right now.
Yeah. Following the conclusion of World War One in 1918... Many discharged veterans found themselves given land by the Australian government to take up farming within Western Australia.
Oh, it was always shit. Hey, it's like, you can have this dust pile piece of shit.
Yeah, nothing basically, grows.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, you couldn't grow anything, but here you go. Here's some land.
Yeah.
So.
Kind of rude.
Yeah, the land was often in less favourable agriculture areas, but with the beginning of the Great Depression in 1929, many veteran soldier farmers focused on increasing their wheat crops.
I guess you could set up for wheat.
Can you imagine, though, like, farming, and especially back in the day, you can't just Google shit, you know what I mean? If you've never been a farmer before, and they're like, here, go make wheat.
Well, I thought about that the other day. Anything like that, you need to learn.
It's either trial and error, or you have to have knowledge from someone else who's done it before.
Even if you're around it, like, I live on this farm, and I watch Dad make hay all the time, it feels like it's your turn, I'd be like, what?
Yeah,
just pressing the two.
Do I mow it first or bale it first? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
how do you start the tractor?
Yeah, well, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Just drags a baler around. It's not even on.
So the government promised funding to assist the new farmers, though it failed to deliver any form of assistance, which sounds like it's still like today. The government just
promise.
Here's $4. You can get 2 pints at the pub with that.
Well, remember when it was like during the flooding or the drought, and instead of the government actually spending money, like giving the money to the farmers to help them out, they instead put the money towards getting people out here to tell the farmers what to do.
Oh, yeah, that was so bad.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, that was more of an investment to help them with the drought. I was just like,
I'd rather cash, please.
Yeah.
Cinet magicians.
How much are you getting paid? How much is your salary? I just want that.
You know how people get shot on farms?
Yeah.
This is what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. So wheat prices continued to fall and the farmers threatened to not deliver the wheat if they were not properly paid. So their troubles increased by the annual arrival of up to 20,000 emus.
Oh, fucking.
So as if it wasn't bad enough already, now you got 20,000 emus coming through your farm.
Are they migratory?
Yeah. They're birds.
What's an sound as an emu, mate?
I have no idea.
Like a terrifying clicking. There'd be like a clicking
sound.
I don't
know. You reckon?
I reckon
like
so.
Muttering, like whispering to each other.
They give me cassowary vibes a little bit.
Oh, they're freaky cassowaries.
I don't like that.
Fuck you up. They're like hippopotamuses.
Remember
of Australia.
Wild Boys used to go in and fuck with the cassowaries?
Yeah.
They
were literally like, you should not be doing that.
They're so territorial. And
I was never scared of a wombat until I watched Wild Boys.
Oh, yeah. Which is so good.
I was never scared of toy cars till I watched Wild Boys.
Ew. That was Jackass.
Oh, yeah, that was too.
I'm trying to see.
He's going to the doctor. The doctor's taking x-rays. He's just looking at it. And just like looking up at him.
He's asking questions.
This is the sound of an emu.
My, imagine 20,000 of that.
It's like a velociraptor. But that's where they got a lot of the sounds from.
It's like a drumming, purring
like
sound.
It's like a cat. Imagine 20,000 of them.
Oh, they're in love.
They're kind of cute.
They can open doors.
That's freaky sounding.
That's fucking freaky. That's imagine 20,000 of them doing
imagine
it.
Imagine if you're in the dark, like camping out in the outback or something.
You see all these eyes.
That's exactly what Steven Spielberg did for like Jurassic Park, though. He went, so he probably would have gotten as many bird sounds as he could compile.
That's a terrifying one.
Because I think the T-Rex was a combo of a lion's roar and an elephant's.
Yeah.
What the fuck do you call that when elephants?
Trumpet.
Is it? Yeah.
When they make an elephant sound.
Yeah, what would you, because a lion roars, an elephant.
Trumpets.
Yeah, that sounds.
That can't, it's not professional enough.
I'd probably say it's the closest thing to it.
Yeah. I'm pretty good.
I don't want to misinform people.
No, they'll know. They'll just be cursing us out right now.
Elephant.
It's called bedazzling, you idiots.
That's not what that's called.
I know. They're just the first thing that comes to my mind.
Elephant.
Do you reckon he made the velociraptor out of its part emu, part magpie?
No, I think he actually caught a real velociraptor and just took the noise off it.
Taught it open doors. I know, I need
you
to do this
in this
scene.
Jurassic Park was real.
Yeah.
Josh, it's called trumpeting.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
No, Junie will do that. Like, she'll talk about dinosaurs and she'll be like, Mummy, where are the T-Rexes? And I'll be like, oh, you don't have to worry about it. Like, there's no dinosaurs here. She goes, are they in a different world? And I'm like, she always says that. I think she means country.
The lost world.
And I was like, yeah, that's what I think of too. And I'm like, no, they're not here. She goes, did Poppy kill all the dinosaurs? And I was like, yep.
It's an educated guess.
So before you were born, there was heaps of dinosaurs and Poppy killed them all. And she's like, oh, good.
Like, goes to school and then she learns about how they're really wiped out. And she's like, no. No.
That's misinformation.
Me here, I was Poppy.
I have an alternative history for you.
Tells them all again and tell their parents.
But that's it. Like, she, you know how weird she is? She's like, Poppy killed them all. I'm like, yep, they did. Anyway, go ahead. That's creepy as
shit. So 20,000 emus. Is that what you said?
That's 20. Like, they're already having a hard time, these farmers, like ex-military people. Yeah. They got the land. They started growing wheat, which wasn't going good at all. And they weren't even getting paid for all. And then all of a sudden, 20,000 emus rocked up.
I feel like you can get a lot of money for emus. Like their
Ooh, that's a good
their
point.
Meat.
They think of
their,
that.
I think that was a bit later they tried to do something like that. So the new farmland in Western Australia was very suitable for emus who migrate after breeding season ends.
So would they eat the wheat? Is that an issue too? Like they'll go
and
through
they
the
run
Yeah, they ate all the crops and that.
And walk through
and
them.
And yeah, they'll walk through them and all that sort of thing.
Fucks.
I'm just imagining like an emu going up to a bit of wheat like this. Like, I try to get its tongue to get in its beak. I don't know why. I just feel like they'd eat like that. Yeah. Like this, they get the stalk in its tongue. Like, oh.
And the farmer comes up like this with its gun. And another one comes out. Clever girl.
20,000 emus though, like you wouldn't be able to move.
No. Yeah. They arrived in huge numbers, consuming and spoiling the crops. They also damaged the fences around them, allowing other wildlife to come into the area as well.
Oh, they got fucking backup from different animals.
This isn't the emu's fault.
Is it?
It's not. It's people's. We shouldn't be there. You know, that's their migratory pattern. I feel sorry for them, granted, because the government's like, you could just have emu land. Yeah, I'm an emu sympathiser.
Emu.
Broomstick. I'm a horse.
But I feel like it wasn't like, that'd be happening when you make farms in migratory areas.
Yeah, farmers were quick to relay their concerns to the Minister of Defence,
who was totally helping them before.
Yeah, George Pearce.
I thought it was Peter Dutton.
Who agreed with their plan to use machine guns against emus.
They had the 50 cal
veterans
out there,
are like, can we use machine guns again? He's like, you guys have used them before. Yeah. You might as well use them again.
So he's like, sure, no worries. You can use machine guns. And but however. He did attach conditions to this agreement. For one, the guns were only to be utilized by military personnel. So only like ex-military people.
This is like an emu militia.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a war.
Yeah.
Like it is literally, they called it, what is it called?
The emu war.
The great emu war.
great
it's not just the emu war, it's labeled the great
war. Yeah, it's
emu
labeled war.
Yeah.
It was an actual war.
Yep. So the guns.
Australia's so dumb.
Yeah. So the guns were only to be utilized by military people. Troop transport was to be paid for by the government, but the farmers would have to pay for the soldiers like food, accommodation, and ammunition.
Well, emus, they can eat them.
Ammunition's expensive, especially back in the day.
That's what I thought. Like the government just paid for them to get there or get around, and the farmers had to pay for food, accommodation, and ammunition. I thought the military would at least give them like ammunition.
This sounds like, you know, when you hear about like sex work, you think you're going to get a heaps good job, you're going to have sex with like a dude and get money for it, but then it's also, oh, well, I got to take my cut of the room, and technically I'm bringing you the client, so then I got to take my cut of that. And also there's like cleaning, so we clean the rooms and the sheet and everything on top of that. Makeup, all that. Sometimes you eat while you're here, so yeah, so you get $10 of every $100 we make.
And you're gonna have sex with someone you don't want
to. Sounds like exactly like Andrew Tate's like webcam scheme that he used to do to women, where he'd be like, yeah, you come here and I'm going to give you, it's like a, what is it? It's a 50-50 split. He'd tell them 50-50 split. And then they'd come to him and they'd be like, yo, I'm only getting 30%. What's happening here? And he'd tell them it was like taxes. He had to pay the taxes on top of that. And he had to pay for everything else when really he wasn't paying their taxes. And then they'd have to go and pay their taxes again on top of the 30% they were getting. But they
smart,
didn't.
Isn't it?
It was
that sounds like those women might have been a bit smarter.
Yeah.
Sounds like it was a bit illegal, actually. Oh, yeah. Like
when is it with those sort of?
But that's what it sounds like to me. It's like you think you're getting like a fair deal, but really it's like, by the way, we're going to give you this land, but
tax.
You have to pay for this, and this. And this was like, I'm not making any money, and I hate my life.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want to go kill some emus now to make me feel better. Yeah. The soldiers would have been. They would have been excited. They'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm getting
paid.
That
is the best. Because I can't even get you back.
Yeah,
it's just like fish in a barrel.
Yeah. Until it started, they're like, what have we done?
No danger.
Yeah. So they kind of use it as like a two birds, one stone kind of scenario.
Oh, did you put that in there on purpose?
This plan would provide the soldiers with good target practicing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like practice and solve the farming problem as well.
And you can eat them, so you don't have to feed. Like when they say you have to feed them, I'd be like, you're only getting emu. That's all you're going to eat.
Imagine, I can just see them now the first night around a fire, the big old fucking drumstick. <It's> just, you did it, boys.
Big emu leg.
This knee's all backwards.
Have you seen that episode on Netflix? It's like, Bert Kreischer, he goes to like a cabin and then he invites Tom Segura. And they're cooking, I think it is an emu. They're an emu like leg and they cook it over a fire, like a rotisserie style. But they get there and they the whole emu is just given to him. Like, it's not cut up or anything, and he has to cut it. And Tom ends up having to cut it up with a chainsaw. And then they put its leg on the fire. There's another dude. He's, like, always on Joe Rogan's podcast, or he was. The old fella, the old comedian that looks like an Italian mobster.
Oh, you know, Joey Diaz?
I think so. And he's really funny. He goes there with him, and they all three sit there, and they're like, okay, let's go eat this thing. And they like, go to bite into it. It's, like, fucking raw.
Oh.
And Tom Segura had to get in, like a fucking sperm suit to, like, hack it all up because Brett was like, I'm not doing that sort of thing. And it was just crazy.
Wasn't it about him going out and getting sober or something in the cabin?
Yeah, but I
haven't seen it. I know, like, what it's
but
about.
But that's literally the first episode. They go and get an emu, and it's just delivered to them by the emu people dead, but, like, whole. And he's like, what the fuck am I going to do with this? And they have to go get, like, a little electric chainsaw.
Just cut it up.
And Brett won't cut it up.
Would there be much meat to an emu?
I reckon it would be.
Yeah.
It was massive drumsticks. Like, that's what they were doing, and that's all he did. He kind of... It was so crazy. In terms of Guru's just in there, like, meh, like, maiming this fucking thing. And then they go to cook it, and it's, like, spent hours and hours on the rotisserie, and it's raw. Like, there's nothing else they can eat.
They'd have a thick hide, though. It'd be hard to cook through and cut through that skin.
I believe so,
maybe your new hobby could be emus.
It would have been if I had the property. I was seriously considering getting one.
So the Australian forces were under the command of Major Meredith of the 7th Heavy Battery of Royal Australian Artillery. Holy shit, say that quick.
I wouldn't be able to return home to my wife and family if my job was eradicating emus.
Yes,
my husband is in the army. Yes, he's very high. So how did you go on World War II? No, I'm out there killing them emus.
My husband is Major Meredith, and he is of the 7th Heavy Battery of the Royal Australian Artillery.
Oh, that sounds really intense. It does. Like, what does he do?
He's going after emus.
And losing.
I'm sorry. I think I misheard you then. Is this like some culture we're trying to colonize? What did you say?
Is that like Charlie? Is that like slang for like the enemy?
Charlie's out there. Emus are there.
Oh, no, he kills human-sized birds. There's like 20,000 of them.
Yeah. They fucked a fence up though.
Do you want to fight one giant horse or 20 little ones?
Yeah.
I'll take the little ones one at a time.
So equipped with 2 Lewis machine guns and 10,000 rounds of ammunition, they anticipated little difficulty. So do you know what the Lewis guns are? It's like the old style World War II ones. You ever seen a lot?
Like
on
a 50 cal?
Line?
Like
the one? No, just like a machine gun.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know how the Germans would sit there in the trenches and they got the machine gun?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, they'd blow the whistle and the guys would get up and charge and they're just like...
They mount it on... You can mount it on the ground or on...
Is it like on the back of an Indiana Jones plane?
Well, you could. I think you just mount them anywhere. I think that you could just mount them.
Okay.
So military involvement began in the late 1932. I think it was like November 2nd or something like that. The first attempt beginning in Campion, some 300 kilometres east of Perth. 50 emus had been spotted there, but the birds were found to be out of range of the guns.
They're smart.
Yeah.
Don't step closer.
The locals then attempted to herd the emus into a ambush.
Killing zone.
Full on setup, hey, like full on operation.
This is so fucked up.
Do you know what's even funnier? This is 1932, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be needing that like ammunition in like a decade.
I think
like
it's 1918, isn't it? First World
War. No, this is 1932. This is after all the World War One vets were settled on their land.
Can
in
you
Western
imagine
Australia?
This, the resources this used up that could have been good to, like, I don't know, go to Germany, kill some.
Two Lewis machine guns and 10,000 rounds of ammunition. And they go on hunting emus.
Practice, mate. Practice makes perfect.
So they've set up this ambush, okay? The emus did not all run together as predicted and chose to instead split into smaller groups, making them harder
fuck
to target.
Wouldn't that fuck you?
Yeah.
Get some good training now, boys.
You know, like Game of Thrones, the map where they have it rolled out on the table before they go into battle?
Yeah.
Got like the stick that's pushing the emus. And we believe if we act in this manner and push our men this way, the emus will push into this
pincer
corral.
Move. We're going to pincer move them and come around the sides.
Yeah, and then it clicks to the emu one. It's like a feather push them on. They're going to try and ambush us here.
Yeah.
We need a fucking split up here. They'll never know it's coming. Flap, flap.
Yeah. So basically they had the ambush set. They've gone after them. They're split in a smaller group. Yeah.
This is the Australian version of Stormtroopers. Sorry, Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And then they still went. They still went chasing them and trying to kill them. And several birds were killed, but nowhere near the anticipated amount. So they just shot a few birds. That's
Why
all
are
they
we
got.
Getting outsmarted by emus?
2 days later, Meredith established an ambush near a dam where more than 1,000 emus were gathered.
Holy shit, you wouldn't want to make a mistake there.
They had an emu that would come to them and be like, so the chief emu's daughter, it's her birthday. It's her inauguration or something. She's having her bird mitzvah.
Bird mitzvah.
At the dam. They will be at the dam on this day. And then it'll just flop through. The fuck is this?
So there's this dam. There's 100 emus gathered at this
100
dam.
100 or 1,000?
Gathered just sounds like we're gathering for like the
like a wedding.
What I mean, it's like, yeah. It's like, yeah, a loving family.
There's one wearing one of those veils. Like.
The gunners waited until the birds were in close proximity before opening fire. Oh, so they're just, yeah, waiting. This is these disgusting. Birds are just coming
this
in.
This is awesome.
Just like fire when they're all close enough. Unfortunately for the troops, the gun jammed after only 12 birds were killed, and the remainder all scattered before the issue could be resolved.
There's a scattering.
So they're out there. Yeah. Imagine, can you imagine 1,000 birds? They opened fire. The gun jammed. I think it was 12 birds were killed. So they only got 12 of them, and then all the rest of them just boom, boom, gone. You're ruining my party.
She's on the ground crying, rocking like, back and forth. No.
Literally, like, the birds are, like, looking at him like this. Like, they're so pathetic. Like, up and down as they run away. Like, what the fuck, bro?
So there were no further birds seen that day. So they couldn't find them after they all scattered to the wind.
They ain't coming back.
In the days that followed, Meredith moved south where the birds were meant to be slightly tamer. I don't know how that works.
These ones let us pat them. We can get up nice and close and stab.
Let's get the ones that have semi-trust for us.
Yeah. We don't even eat the wheat, guys. I respect fences. You die now.
I don't understand how you know they're tamer or if they're tamer south. It's someone's pet. There's two in that back. I know where there's some tamer ones.
Kill just a chicken.
It's like, dude, he like brings out, he's like, this is Clarice. She's beautiful and she's lovely under the moon. Like, this is Sharon.
I told her to speak English. I don't want to die. See? So much tamer. Kiss the chloroform out. You're birdie.
They're still trying to kill it on the ground. Gun jams again.
Takes an axe to its neck.
So they went seeking out these slighter tamer emus, and still they only had limited success. So that's still so pathetic.
This is why they need practice. This is pretty shit.
Yeah. By the fourth day of the campaign, reporters began to say that the emu packs had leaders that would cause destruction and warn the rest of the birds if there was trouble taking place. So they were actually treating this like they have generals and stuff in their army, and that they can tell the birds when danger's coming.
Let them know. I feel like, you know, you've done this. We've had this first kind of world war, and we've put a lot of time and effort and money into it, and we have these resources maybe now since it's finished that are just catching up. You know what I mean? Like the bullets that we were making to send over, what are we going to do with it? There's these people that are in the army that, like, you know, that they're conditioned to this life now. What are we going to fucking do? Like, those are the ones that usually turn out, like, killing their wives or something and then having all this PTSD. It's like, let's keep them channeled and focused on these emus.
Plus,
and they took it.
Yeah.
Plus the training, because they fucking need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
If you can hit a bird in full flight, shoot that, then you've got no problem hitting a human on the other side.
Yeah. And they're still trying to, like, you know, what is it, trying to have a reason to still have the army together and do all this stuff and send them out there is just like, this is important.
Yeah. I think it's a lot too. We gave you land, you have problems, you can sort it out yourself kind of too. We'll give you a few more troops, but you guys can sort it out. So by the end of the sixth day, a quarter of the ammunition had been used. Only a suspected 50 birds had been killed.
Jesus. What? No way. Do the emus have like snipers too?
Scouts.
Yeah, scouts. So.
This led to George Pierce pausing operation on the 8th of November. So he's like, you've used, what was it, 10,000 rounds of ammunition. You've used a quarter of it.
Killed 50 birds.
And you killed 50 birds.
But sir, they're wearing body.
We have to regroup.
I don't understand how these birds could have been such a big issue and you can't even get them in a group together to kill them. You know what I mean? Like, they're causing all this havoc. Are they just, I don't know, going about it the wrong way? Like, should they just needed to play, like, the waiting game?
It sounded like they were just relying on those machine guns and, like they said, get them in those group areas of 1,000 and then just unleash on them and take out as many as you can.
But they went and used the machine guns on a pack of 100. Like, you'd think if they were getting thousands upon thousands of them, you would select a better patch.
I think that was the problem. They had the 50 of them at the start and they went into smaller groups and they still continued to go after them and try and shoot them.
They got overexcited.
Yeah.
Cowboys.
Major Meredith, surprised at the tenacity of the emus, was quoted, this is a quote, comparing them to the Zulu warriors of South Africa due to their maneuverability and speed.
Yep, and feathers.
This is a sad time for Australia.
Do we just need to appreciate how good they are, emus?
Yeah.
You can't compare an emu to a Zulu warrior. Like, that is insane.
Oh, no, not that. I'm talking about, like, we can't easily kill them with a gun.
You, like, we need an update, sir, and it's like, the things I've seen, these emus.
They chant.
They're like the Zulu. I hear them in my sleep. I can't ever get too close. They sense me coming. They are formidable foes. Just that goes to a dark place.
That's yeah.
Zulu. You don't compare an emu to a Zulu.
They compared them as in due to their maneuverability and speed. So they're saying that that agile.
It's weird. It's almost like they're a fucking bird that runs on two legs.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. They're probably so used to killing people that when they had to kill a fucking animal, like I get that they're not top of the food chain animals, but that's what they do. They're fucking fast on two legs.
And they would split up too. That'd be a defense mechanism to fucking split up and try and, you know.
Did they get like
I reckon it's just emu scared as
predator.
Oh, fuck.
This direction. They're like, oh, this direction. Hey, Bob's going that way. I'll follow his butt.
They consider
hey, Rico, you come with me.
Rico, Danny didn't know. That's what I was left behind.
Consider getting like a zoologist involved or anything to study emu behaviors and patterns.
Pew.
Just the gun or sort of. Yeah.
Unsurprisingly, the farmers' crops continued to suffer at the hands of the emus. The 12th of November saw a reinstatement of military activity supported by the government of Western Australia. So they took like 4 days off. They were like, on the 8th of November, they're like, we're going to stop.
That's now Easter.
We're going to pause the operation. We're going to regroup. We're going to take a breath.
Is there a public holiday for that in Western Australia now? The Great Emu was public holiday.
And on the 13th of November, 1932, saw some success for the military as over 2 days they were able to kill approximately 40 emus.
That still seems pretty low compared to the 20,000 thereafter.
Yeah. By the end of November, the military recorded that they were able to kill approximately 100 emus a week, a marked improvement from the first campaign.
Do they have KPIs?
They probably do now, in their head, on paper.
Like they had to report it.
Yeah. I reckon they would. You'd have to count the bodies and...
Yeah.
So they know how many they're killing per...
You'd have to do it because you've got a certain amount of rounds that you've been given.
Yeah.
So you'd have to have some sort of outcome.
They want to know what the output is.
They see a dead cockatoo and they're just like... tally for the emu.
You'd think you'd budge the numbers a little bit, wouldn't you?
It's a possum hanging dead out of a tree. Hey.
They go 99 and there's no more left. He just points at a hummingbird in a tree. 100.
Meredith claimed by the 10th of December that they had killed 986 emus.
Holy shit.
With 9,860 rounds of emus.
That's 10 bullets per emu? Is that what that works out to be?
I think it's 100.
100 bullets per emu.
Because it would have just been wildfire.
Yeah, it'd be 100 bullets per emu.
It would have just been wildfire, though. I think it would have just been spraying. There'd be no, like, putting them down one by one.
Yeah.
I think it was a time for biochemistry war then. Wouldn't you just give them all a disease? Like just on, and yeah, they
I don't know why they didn't try to poison them or something.
We're
like
awful,
that,
awful like as a race, like the species we are.
Do we try and communicate with them? Like peace?
Yeah, can you do that thrumming sound that they make? I think that's the mating.
Through the wall. All 20,000 of them with these big old heart on.
You just sat down next to them and they're in front of you. They just peck you in the forehead and walk off. Like that's just
it loves me.
Negotiations.
Oh, wait. This one loves me too.
Negotiations were unsuccessful.
So they reckon they killed 986 and used all those ammunition. But they also say, additionally, he thought they had injured 2,500 more that would later die from their injuries. But that's just a guess, I guess.
I reckon they would have just gone straight to Emu Med Bay. I mean, they're clever enough if they're splitting up by that. They're patching their wounded soldiers up and they're coming back.
That's scary.
Mate, that's what they're doing. With platypus venom to seal
this
the wound.
This is genocide. They're just taking over their land and they're like, I'm on the emu side like for the most part here.
Yeah, I just like that it's happened. It sounds really cool.
You're just like, I'm just enjoying the story. You don't need to get political about it.
Oh, no, I agree with you. It's their land, but I mean... Emu war is pretty cool.
It's pretty funny.
Despite the initial problems that the farmers had faced with the cull of the emus, they were forced to request military aid again in 1934, 1943, and 1948.
So that's going through World War II now. Yes. They're actually still...
The farmers are still requesting the aid. All these requests were turned down by the government.
The funniest part about this is just the incompetence that surrounds it, really. And that they're just like, we need help with emus. And the government's like, nah.
Yeah.
Not gonna do that again.
Can we make money from that? No, we're not interested.
Yeah. Couldn't you set up like? I'm not there. I don't understand how vast the wheat farms are, what land they're on. But couldn't you just put up emu-proof fencing and just let them live?
I think they do in the end.
That's what they end up.
They didn't try that first.
No, that's later.
I feel like the money you spent on the bullets and the people could have just been, be able to fence.
I think they didn't think it was going to be as much a problem as they thought. Give them machine guns, they'll have it sorted in like a week.
Yeah.
That's how they do it, though. You just kill it if it's a problem, you know?
Yeah. Now there's this deep down hatred that emus have for people. Yeah.
So denied military support, they instead introduced a bounty system that proved to be effective.
That would be sick. What do you do for a living? I'm an emu. Kill emus, yeah.
And I'm doing it during World War II so I don't have to go to war because I'm needed here.
It's important.
Killing emus for money.
Yeah. In 1934, so this is like 2 years later, 57,000 bounties were claimed in just a six-month period.
That's insane. How 57. Are emus not extinct?
I know.
Did we used to have emus around here? I reckon we would have, right?
Would have. I haven't seen any yet.
I've seen some on the way to Turon.
Yeah, I've seen them out in the wild.
Yeah.
Really?
No, I think emus. There's an emu farm there, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's at the back of Turon. It's an emu farm.
We should definitely do an emu farm.
I would have done one. I was going to call it Flintoff. Maybe made it work, had it all sorted.
Why Flintoff?
I don't know, to be honest.
That's weird. Like, you were really
excited. You're stuck on the name, not the emu farm.
Just wait, because you're like, we're going to call it Flintoff. And I was like, you're really excited to say that. Like, what does that mean? You're like, nothing.
I don't know. I don't remember why it did mean something.
Nice little fact to throw in there real quick.
It's really nice, because I was going to bed tonight and I was going to be like, what the fuck was he calling that farm?
Yeah.
Is he going to give them names? So there's going to be numbers.
Why Flintoff?
I don't know. We made it up on the spot and I try to remember it then.
Were you just like sounding out stuff?
And then you're
like, Flintoff?
Surprised you didn't call it. I want pat dog.
I was gonna write it and everything.
I think it's a good idea.
I
think emu meat, you can get a lot of money for it.
Yeah, there was. What do you profit from? There's something else. I think you can actually sell fertile eggs, but they don't lay that often.
Oh, do they not?
What do you do with the eggs? Like massive eggs?
You can hatch them.
Can you like make a bacon and egg roll with it?
You could, but it'd just be. I don't think it tastes weird. It's like duck eggs. It's a different.
I have it. No, I have it. I have the answer.
You go.
You ever seen Jake Gyllenhaal playing, you know,
with his balls?
No, the fucking Prince of Persia.
Oh yeah.
And he has the emu, like the I know the ostriches, but they race ostriches in it.
Oh, they do too.
Yeah, there is emu racing.
Yeah, there is down in South Australia.
Yeah, but mine wouldn't be fast because I'm not training them.
It's not the point. There's just no one else doing it, and it could be a bit of fun.
But there's none left because we killed them all.
Did we?
No, there's still heaps around.
Okay.
So get them.
Okay.
We can kill a few more.
Let's find them.
Word began to spread around the globe about the emu war, with some conservationists condemning the activity.
Mm.
Supported by the Australian government as an unwarranted extermination of a rare bird. I don't know.
Rare.
Like 60,000 doesn't sound so rare.
Yeah, rare.
And that's just where they are.
I think that's excessive, but that doesn't sound like they're rare.
Yeah.
It'd be like kangaroos. They're just everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
It did increase the popularity of exclusion barrier fencing in Australia that provided effective at keeping out the emus as well as other pests. I don't know why they keep us like tagging other pests and stuff onto these emus.
Like the kangaroos? Or I think they had an issue. Dingoes were really bad. That's why they had rabbits, like rabbit-proof fencing. That rabbit. But the rabbits aren't, they introduced. Like, you know what I mean?
Emus yeah, they're not natural. Native.
So, however, in the 1950s, the problem remained. Hugh Leslie, an Australian politician, campaigned for farmers to be issued with ammunition from the army to help with their emu problem. So we'll kind of come, 360 all the way back around again.
Have they heard of, what's that one that they...
Napalm.
Napalm. They should have just been dropping napalm out of fucking helicopters.
We're in for a penny and for a pound at this point. Let's just fucking finish it instead of...
Napalm.
Napalm. Burn the desert. It's already burnt.
I feel like you laugh, but
and
I feel like
meat as well.
Yeah. But well, when do you go? This is okay, but napalm's not. I mean,
they signed a treaty. That's a war cry. The emu said no, but napalm.
Yeah, that's true. They've done a little.
I just feel like that would have been more effective, more cost effective too, because they all huddle. You'd have a helicopter go out there with a bunch of napalm on it, just like. Out the you know what I mean?
The jet comes through.
The emu's like, like the snake from Anaconda.
This guy's strong gas cannon. Charlie, close.
Just anything like
flamethrower.
Yeah.
Flamethrowers would have been better.
Coming up like off Starship Troopers and limbs are falling off.
Comes and grabs him and drags him off.
Yeah,
cool movie.
We're going to make one. There'd be an emu war movie out there.
Yeah. This was approved and 500,000 rounds were released to the farmers. However, the emu may have triumphed at the end. There are an estimated 600,000 to 700,000 still alive today, and they are classified as least concerned by local conservationists.
What about compared to kangaroos, you reckon?
Oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah, kangaroos would be way more. Yeah. It'd be millions and millions.
There'd be fuckloads.
I'm not allowed to touch them. Is there a reason we're not allowed to touch them?
Yeah, because when people come over, they're like, we don't have kangaroos in our country.
I feel like shooting a few here and there wouldn't hurt.
Just because they're the natural, the native animal and they're on they're on some money, so you can't.
You're not supposed to. Emblem. I thought you weren't supposed to eat your native animals, but people eat emus. Do you know what I mean? My watch is telling me get up. Mind your own business. I'm working here.
Were you guys there, or someone was telling me? I feel like it was my kids, but you might have been there for Izzy's birthday. They're on our national coat of arms and emblem because they can't, like emus can't walk backwards and kangaroos can't go backwards. So always going forward.
Wrong party. Don't know about that one.
So I thought you
is that
right?
Is it like a motivational thing?
Yeah. Like it's like, because it's always forward, no going backwards. And the two animals can't go backwards because you know the emu's knees are all like ambidextrous or whatever it's called.
I think we should have done the thylacine. I'm just saying. I get like, oh, it's a metaphor for we only move forward as a country. And how cool would a thylacine be on the coat of arms?
Did you hear about, I think it's called like a Carnifex or Carniflex or something?
Yeah.
How insane is that?
Yeah. They did a movie on it recently.
I watched it.
How good is it?
I liked it.
A Carniflex. Yeah.
It was kind of scary.
It's like the koala, what the koala was before it evolved into the koala. It was megafauna.
Oh, one of the megafaunas.
And it was about like, I think it was two girls and a guy, and they were filming something in the Blue Mountains.
Sounds hot.
They were filming something.
Chickens.
They were going and grabbing like data off, what do you call them? The cameras you put out. And they were trying to get it all. So they were like conservationists where they would like, if they can spot an animal here, especially endangered ones, that means they can't build through that area. So it kind of saves the area as like an ecosystem.
And they were doing a documentary on it as well. And they went in there and turns out there was a Carnifex. That's what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Carnifex or Carniflex. I can't remember. I think it's Carnifex.
So this is a movie.
Yeah, it's
fiction.
But this creature, it was real. It was like one of the
23s or whatever.
And it was still, because it was like somewhere in the Blue Mountains when like no one really goes, it was still alive there and it fucking fucked their shit up.
Imagine being the first people coming over, like the Aborigines, the first guys, and seeing the 24 megafaunas or whatever they are, just having a look at them.
I'm just going to go, oh, wait, that sandbar washed away. Fuck.
Fucking 6-foot koala bear coming at me.
No. And that's what it was. It looked like a wombat had made love to a koala.
Yeah.
It was the size of like an African lion.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And it lived in the trees and it would drag its.
So drop bears.
Yeah, exactly. That's where the stories come from as well, as like
you'd
drop
like
bears.
It, Josh.
Like this. Imagine a massive lion, and apparently its jaws were like a hyena, like it had a bite force. It wouldn't like come and drag the prey away. It'd like kill it in like one bite, but it used to come out of the trees and like ambush, because it wasn't very fast or something. So it'd just jump out of the tree and ambush
it
like animals.
Super muff. It gave me like Staffy vibes.
Yeah.
Super like.
Oh,
staunch.
Yeah. Fucked up.
But yeah, the movie is really good. You should check it out. I watched it ages ago. And I was like, I thought, you know how you see ones and you're just like, it's kind of like an independent indie Australian
it's
movie.
It's proper done.
It's probably not going to be that great. It was really good.
It's like that, but the size of like a lion.
That's crazy.
Like an African lion, like as big as an African lion.
Jumping in and out of a tree.
You'd like the movie. It's on Rockbox.
I didn't know we had that sort of megafauna.
Either did I.
I thought like Tasmanian tiger, you know how you get like the Queensland tiger and stuff like that. I was always like, oh, just Tasmanian tiger, just a little thing. But being the size of an African lion.
Yeah.
There was like way as much as one too.
There was like wombats 10 times the size of what they are now or something. Romping around.
And I'm pretty sure thylacines, like the Tassie tiger in that, their DNA is more akin to like wolves.
Yeah.
So dingoes weren't that different to them.
Imagine having them here still.
Oh, I fucking would
imagine
love
us
that.
As kids on the farm. They'd be terrorizing everything. They'd be too aggressive, eh?
But even imagine that,
they are.
Like that's in like a movie as like a monster. Imagine if you were out in the outback and you're in this real remote area and that thing's like stalking.
That's what I said. The Aborigines would have had to put up with that because when they come over, and I think they wiped out all of them except one megafauna, but that would have been something that would have been, they would have had to fight and it would have been killing us. I was going to go this week, like to this afternoon or tomorrow because we're off. I was going to go and watch June too because that first movie was amazing.
Yeah, but you can't now. I will not watch.
Can't now. Oh, no, yeah. Not here. Yeah, I was going to until I worked at it closed.
I won't be able to watch June without Daniel because I have to be like, what was that about?
Oh, really?
Oh, I fucking can't follow
it. I could follow it. Surprisingly, I could follow it.
I could. Yeah. I followed it, but I had so many questions that I wanted answering immediately that they weren't giving me.
You'll get them in the next movie.
So, but Dan's read the books, so I was like,
yeah, I want to read the books.
What's up?
What's that about? And Dan'd be like, I don't really remember. I'd be like, what do you mean? And he'd be like, I don't. I was like, but what do you think it means? He'd be like, I don't.
Give me your take on how you think this should go.
Yeah, he was like, do you mind if we watch the movie? I'm like, oh, so now he doesn't want to talk.
Yeah. It was a long, slow movie, and I normally don't like slow movies, but it kept me interested with the sound effects, the visuals.
Did you see the merch that they had out to go to the cinema? No. the Dune popcorn boxes. You didn't see that?
No.
It looked like something that someone would definitely be fucking up the back of the cinema. I'll show you. It's so good.
Oh, Shogun. I've got to start watching that too. Have you started watching it?
No, but it's really good.
A few of my mates said it's actually pretty good. I was afraid because of Disney and I thought it would be too PG and a bit, you know, crazy. And they reckon it's actually kind of, they've done it well.
Yeah, this was the Dune popcorn.
Oh, the scenes. Fuck it. That's pretty cool. Yeah,
dudes be taking that home, hey.
I'm strapping it at the shower wall.
No, they were more worried about what they were doing with it in the cinema while they were watching.
I wouldn't be able to wait to go home either.
Everyone coming out with like a yeast infection on their dick or something.
Hey, you're not enjoying the movie? I like it.
I'm enjoying something.
Looks like someone's up there doing push-ups.
That, though? Yeah, and wow. I think you can get them in Australia.
Can I get them online?
They look at Josh up and down. They're like, you can't have one.
Sir, not, no. I've come back in with a mustache, huh?
Yeah, the fake mustache and the nose and the glasses.
May I have another? I destroyed my last one. Fucking chicken.
And I love how it's come story. Full circle.
So, yes, we're back to the start again.
Making love.
To chicken. Yeah, you can spin it how you want.
The chicken. Picking up speed.
Fucking hell.
He's all sleeping.
It's like, is this happening? Well, anyway.
Yeah, we'll leave that.
Thanks so much for watching.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you
next time. Bye.
Bye.